Personnel Administration Legislation Committee meeting, Monday, October 8th, 2018.
Okay, we'll call to order the Board of Supervisors Personnel Administration and Legislative Committee meeting for today, the 8th of October. First item is a federal legislative update.
Good afternoon. The House is adjourned until after the midterm election. The Senate is in session this week. They come back in tomorrow. There are a few things on the calendar. One is reauthorization of the Water Resources Development Act, as well as two Department of Justice nominees. Although nothing official has been announced yet, we do think the Senate will likely recess at the end of this week. I think leadership is talking about reaching some sort of agreement on a number of executive nominations that they would package together and then approve, by the end of the week, and then they would adjourn until after the midterm. We didn't have PAL last week, but we'll just give you a quick update on FY19 appropriations. Before the House adjourned at the end of September, it approved the final version of the Defense, Labor, HHS, Education Appropriations Minibus on a vote of 361-61. The legislation also includes a continuing resolution that funds the remaining government agencies at FY18 enacted levels through December 7th. So those bills that are under a CR are financial services, interior environment, agriculture, transportation HUD, state foreign ops, Department of Homeland Security, and commerce, justice, science. The four bills, interior environment, agriculture, financial services, and T-HUD, those have already been packaged into a minibus, and I know we've talked about that a good bit. Appropriators were hoping to pass before the September 30th deadline, but negotiations got hung up over disagreements on the spending levels in financial services and some environmental policy riders on interior environment. So all of those are under the CR. The big news last week was, of course, the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, and it ended up passing the full Senate 50-48 on Saturday. There's going to be an official swearing in tonight, but he was sworn in as the next Associate Justice, I think Saturday after the vote, and then there will be a ceremonial swearing in tonight by President Trump. And then the only other news, the notice of proposed rulemaking on the public charge that should be published this Wednesday, October 10th, with a comment period running for 60 days from the date of publication. So the preview notice was published on Friday, and so we're just waiting to see the official notice in the Federal Register this Wednesday. And that is our report.
Does anyone have any questions? I know everybody's been following a lot of what's going on in Washington pretty closely. Any questions?
Whatever happened with the food stamp stuff? Sorry, did you hear that?
Teresa's asking a question about food stamps.
No, can you repeat it?
Farm bill,
the
food
farm
stamps.
Bill. Just what happened with the
food stamps? Oh, farm bill.
Food stamps.
Yeah, so they weren't able to finalize the conference report before September 30th. I think they do feel like they will reach a deal after the midterm, so we'll likely see a final conference agreement in November or December.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you. We'll move over to the state legislative update.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back. You have Teresa and Gianna on the line. We have passed the governor's veto signature deadline for the 2018 legislative session. As all of you know, unfortunately, we got a veto of 2111, the county-sponsored bill related to CalWORKs. I cannot tell you what a disappointment it was with us, CORK staff, as well as the Western Center on Law and Poverty. But the good news is, if there is any, is that CORK is willing to reintroduce the bill next year, and the Western Center on Law and Poverty is very eager to co-sponsor the bill again next year, obviously thinking that our chances under another governor might be better than they were under the Brown administration, which has been, unfortunately, a little stingy when it comes to issues under CalWORKs and others. So, you know, not a great answer, but, you know, some of these things take time. In addition to that, we obviously got answers on a handful of other priority bills the county had. AB 626 Garcia, this was a bill that actually the signature came out a little bit earlier than the rest of them. This is the allowing the sale of food from home kitchens was signed. AB 2923, this is the David Hsu bill regarding transit-oriented projects and development near BART stations was signed. AB 3115, this is the Mike Gibson bill regarding community paramedicine programs, unfortunately vetoed despite our support and LA support for that bill. And SB 905 by Senator Wiener regarding an extension of alcoholic beverage sales beyond 2 a.m. That bill was vetoed as well. You know, that was a priority for a couple of you guys. Obviously, we are starting to look at the 2019 legislative session. As all of you know, it's never too early to start, you know, fleshing out your proposals and trying to identify, you know, supporters and authors and getting feedback from committee consultants and what have you. So, you know, we've been having some conversations initially with Supervisor Miley's office about some extended producer recycling legislation for a couple of retail products throughout California. We're having a conversation with the lobbyist for the Product Stewardship Council at the end of this week to sort of flesh out what some of those ideas might look like and what work they've already done to date. So, you know, we'll make sure that as far as, you know, the remainder of October through the end of December, that we do everything we can to make sure that, you know, you have strong authors and that you have a bill introduced early and that the language and the concept have been taken past all kind of the key stakeholders. So you're in good shape, you know, January and forward 2019. Outside of legislation, a lot of activity happening on the 2020 ballot. It's hard to imagine that that's already something that we're starting to shift our attention to. But just so everybody knows, Carl DeMaio, the kind of lead spokesperson on the SB1 repeal, Proposition 6, has gone ahead and filed another initiative regarding transportation projects. This one calling an end to the spending of the high-speed rail, and then specifying that SB1 monies can be used for vehicles and roads only, no transit, bikes, etc. So this is, if you will, like a second bite at the apple for DeMaio and his bench. That initiative, we will be seeing a title and summary come out of the Secretary of State's office, or excuse me, the Attorney General's office by the end of November. So just be aware that, you know, not only do we have Prop 6 immediately ahead of us, but there will also be that fight if signatures are significant enough to get it placed on the 2020 ballot. Unless there are any questions about any of those items, I will turn it over to my colleague Gianna to discuss some other issues.
Are there any questions?
No questions, but a comment. Social Services has resubmitted a proposal for the board's consideration to resubmit 2111. So they formally sent that. So we'll be dealing with that in the proposed platform.
Good.
Yeah.
Great to hear.
Teresa, this is Vanessa. I saw Assemblymember Quirk on Saturday, and he also said he would be happy to introduce it. So I know his staff has said that, but yeah, he felt the same about the governor change probably being beneficial to us.
Yeah, that's great. No, he was, he, through the appropriations committees, we were all really impressed with how much of an expertise he gained about this and how hard he pushed, which is outside of his regular wheelhouse. So it was a good fit. He was a good partner.
Anything else? Okay.
All right, moving on to a quick update on bail reform, SB 10. As you know, the governor signed SB 10 on August 28th, and since then, the Judicial Council of California created its own webpage dedicated to SB 10. It has a lot of helpful information, particularly if you like flow charts, which I'm a big fan of. They have some really good graphics, information, Q&As, all that type of stuff on their website in preparation of the law going into effect in October 2019. And as you're aware, there's an effort underway to reverse SB 10 through the referendum process. Unfortunately, we don't know as of now how many signatures they've collected. I've reached out to a few different people, and as soon as I get that information, I will pass that along to you all. We do know that they have 10 locations already where petitions can be signed. There are 5 in Northern California and 5 in Southern California, and they're rapidly asking for more volunteers, so they're opening up new ones probably as we speak. So as soon as we find out how they're doing in the signature gathering process, we'll let you know. As a reminder, they do need over 300,000 signatures by November 26th, which is a really tight deadline, but they've expressed that they are sure that they're going to have enough. So in doing so, they would have a referendum of SB 10 on the 2020 ballot. So we'll keep you all posted on that. Couple updates on grant opportunities. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, otherwise known as CAL FIRE, recently announced 2 different programs that they're accepting applications for, or soon to be accepting applications for. One related to preventing wildfires, and one related to restoring forest health. So one of them opened on October 1st, and one will be opening later October. And just as a reminder, these kind of go in line with Governor Brown's executive order earlier this year related to California's disastrous wildfires. So it's kind of all, you know, using cap and trade funds to really make sure that we're preventing this from happening again in the future. So we'll include information in the PAL notes if you're interested in taking advantage of those. And Cal OES also announced a new grant opportunity, $1.2 million to support family justice centers. So those provide services to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, elder or dependent abuse, and human trafficking victims. So $400,000 is available for each applicant. So we'll include a link to that as well in case you're interested. And just to circle back on something we talked about at the last PAL on September 24th, we had mentioned that the Strategic Growth Council was planning to move $20 million from the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program over to the Transformative Climate Communities Program, which would have negatively affected Alameda County's projects currently underway. The next day, I believe, or the day of the hearing, we learned that that item was removed from the agenda, which is good news for the county, so they decided not to move forward with that. But nonetheless, the Bay Area Caucus sent in a letter of concerns to the council in case they attempt to do it in the future, just noting that it's not, you know, it's not under their purview to appropriate money, and that that's the legislature's responsibility. And we wanted to point out that Assemblyman Quirk, Senator Wykowski, and Senator Chu all signed on to that letter, which Teresa and I had conversations with directly, so that was a really good positive note. And then moving on to some hearings of interest. You know, during interim and the winter recess, the legislature is taking advantage of the downtime to sort of talk through ideas for next year and just kind of have education or informational sessions. So on October 15th, we have one that might be of interest to you. It's regarding the Wayfair decision related to online sales tax. And then there's one on October 24th, and that's related to plastic pollution's effects on the California coast, which might be of interest, especially given the county's interest in kind of curbing, you know, pollution and illegal dumping and whatnot in California. So we just wanted to point those out for you. And let us know if we can provide more information on either of those. And that concludes the report for this week.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Clarifications? Comments? None? We have one request for a position, and that is support Proposition 1, Veterans and Affordable Housing Act, and Proposition 2, No Place Like Home Act for 2018. And that's a request from Supervisor Wilma Tran's office, as well as Chris Fazar, the Community Development Agency. Right ahead.
Yeah, Colleen Chavla also wanted to add Healthcare Services Agency and Behavioral Healthcare Services as co-endorsers of this recommendation.
We'll add those.
And Chief Still would also like to add probation support.
Okay. Healthcare, behavioral care.